Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, really excited to be here. And first of all, I just want to thank Monerotopia and everyone within the Monero community for the opportunity to speak on something that's a little bit spicier, I guess, a little bit more controversial. But yeah, so super thankful. Today, going to be discussing the Zcash Development Fund, providing somewhat of a defense for it, but also really highlighting areas that I think it can improve, because I think there are a lot of gaps and a lot of areas that we need to address within Zcash. So yeah, going to be talking on that today. Couple disclaimers before I get into it. I have worked, I am working, have worked, or have, done grant proposals for organizations within the Zcash Development Fund. So I am a bit biased, so take my bias for what it's worth. And also, everything I say here is going to be my opinions and not opinions of any of the organizations affiliated with the Zcash Development Fund. And also not going to be speaking too much on Monero funding mechanisms, just because I'm not super well versed in them and I don't want to speak on things that I'm not well educated on. So a little bit about myself before I get in. My name's Ian and I'm currently working with a company in the Ethereum space. And I also have a research grant with the Zcash Foundation. I also created an open source project called ZekHub, which received a grant from the Zcash Community Grants Program. And I was also a former employee with the Electric Coin Company. So as mentioned, I've touched every part of the development fund. So yeah, let's get into it. The first thing I just want to cover for those who aren't familiar, and I'll be very quick with this because I would imagine that most people here know what this is. But yeah, what is the Zcash Development Fund? So it's this fund that issues 20% of mining rewards to a community development program. And it was established in 2020 to replace the Zcash Founders Reward, which was a 20% block reward that was allocated to projects' founders. So I think with this block reward, a small percentage of it, let's say 6% of the block rewards went to the Electric Coin Company and the Zcash Foundation, and the majority of it went to a group of 44 people who were early investors, employees, and founders of the Zcash project. So somewhat of a controversial and kind of novel funding mechanism. And in 2020, the community decided to enact a new funding mechanism called the Zcash Development Program, where 40% of that fund goes to the community grants, 35% go to the Electric Coin Company, and 25% go to the Zcash Foundation for protocol development and adoption. So that kind of equates to, I think, 8% to ZCG, 7% to ECC, and 5% to ZF of overall block rewards. So the question is why? Why would you implement this? So the Founders Reward, which I don't want to speak too much on because I wasn't around in Zcash when that was implemented, but it was to incentivize builders to stick around the project, not kind of operate like a pump and dump scheme, and to incentivize long-term development of the Zcash protocol. And why the Zcash Development Fund, was kind of put in place was because, because these are baked into the protocol, after a certain period during the halvings, they no longer they stop providing funding. So you have to implement a new funding mechanism or kind of seek out different funding alternatives. So this is from the blog post Reaching Consensus on the Electric Coin Company website. And there was this idea that, it wasn't unexpected because they knew it was coming in 2020, but there was an end to funding within the Zcash ecosystem. So people felt that the future of the project was uncertain. ECC and ZF were not going to be subsidized. So the question was, are community volunteers going to pick up the development of the protocol? Now, something I will acknowledge that this blog post left out is that there are alternative funding mechanisms outside of a dev fund. So they did leave that out, in my opinion, but this was kind of the sentiment within the community. Is it going to be dev fund or nothing? So the question that was asked by ECC is anyone going to be incentivized to advocate for Zcash at exchanges, wallets, regulatory bodies? And is the digital currency with strong privacy protections going to survive during a time when people feel that the government and large corporations are infringing upon freedom, security, dignity, and consent? So this was kind of the overall kind of sentiment of, is there going to be a dev fund or not? Is the Zcash project going to kind of progress or not? And I will acknowledge as well, again, that I'm not saying that Zcash or Monero are better, one's better than the other. I'm just kind of presenting the information for the argument here. So the thought was kind of at ZCon 1, where Zuko presented this in Croatia, was there was kind of these three funding mechanisms that could have been implemented. You could have stopped receiving Founders Reward money, And each company had like runway, so 5 to 6 months runway during the time. So you could stop receiving founders reward money, and you could kind of extend your runway, not grow your company, and therefore become maintainers of the protocol. Now, again, I would argue during the time they probably could have sought out other funding mechanisms, but this was the argument that was presented. So we can maintain the protocol, but not further development. The other option was we can look to build other things and receive other funding alternatives, which would likely mean that these companies would build on other protocols and perhaps not direct all of their attention to Zcash. And then the third was going all in on Zcash and advocating for a new development funding model, which is what the Electric Coin Company at the time, known as the Zcash Company, and the broader community decided to go for. I will acknowledge that there was a kind of community sentiment process put in place, and the majority of the Zcash community, through these community sentiment processes, did voice that they were in favor of a Zcash development funding model. Whether those sentiment gathering mechanisms were as decentralized or representative to the community at large, were they effective of that? I can't answer that, but the sentiment gathered through these mechanisms did show that people were in favor of a development fund model. So what are the kind of high level arguments for a Zcash dev fund model? The arguments given is that the project is more sustainable and there's more financial incentivization for builders within the protocol. So the argument is that Zcash has produced a lot of cutting edge cryptography and has done a lot of great development in the zero knowledge space. And they are world-class builders in the Zcash community that would likely be able to find work and employment on other projects if there wasn't a financial incentivization within Zcash. So by dedicating their lives to Zcash, there needs to be some financial reward and some financial incentive to do that. So there is an argument that there's that incentivization to retain builders or retain talent to work on the Zcash protocol. And it also provides the protocol more long-term sustainability and longer-term funding models than other funding models that are available in the space. It gives protocol development teams the ability to think longer-term. So in traditional grant models, a lot of grants are maybe 1 to 2 years at a time. Within Zcash, these are done every halving, so 4 years at the current rate. So people are given four-year time horizons where they can acquire a lot of US dollar value worth of Zcash, and can build long runways and can kind of long-term think about the project and how things are gonna look out in 5, 10, 20, 30 years. The argument is that this slows protocol development and doesn't bring it up to speed, but the argument, I guess the counter to that would be the Zcash team can kind of focus on putting out really sound code and really, really sound protocols that aren't vulnerable to attack or things of that nature. So these are kind of the arguments that are in place for that. And then the last is that it gives the opportunity for the community to hold the protocol teams accountable and not venture capital firms who might have misaligned incentives. So for example, if you buy a Zcash coin, you're injecting liquidity into that market, you're providing US dollar value to that market and are affecting the price actions through your actions. Therefore, because you're giving Zcash, because you're a part of the ecosystem giving Zcash value, you are therefore directly funding the teams that are building on the protocol. So Zcash does have this environment where protocol teams and core development teams do answer to the community and have to keep some level of transparency up with the community. And that is something that's been in place and something that people feel is a really good aspect of this. And it also keeps kind of the incentives aligned with the coin holders and the people developing on the protocol. So these are some arguments that are in favor for it. But some arguments that are against it, and these are ones that I'm not super... I don't agree with it. I agree with them like conceptually, but in practice, I don't necessarily agree with them. But they are kind of arguments that come out a lot in the community and other places and other ecosystems as well. So the first one is the tax on miners and users. So this is kind of one I struggle with, and I can definitely see both sides to this argument. The argument that I've been told why it isn't a tax is because it's voluntary. So when you're buying into the Zcash ecosystem and buying the Zcash coin and becoming a part of the project, you're consenting to the fact that there is this funding model in place. And if you don't want to be a part of this ecosystem, you can easily opt out and move on to another project in the privacy space that doesn't have this type of funding model. So I kind of see that argument where people are like, it's not a tax because it is voluntary and tax is involuntary by nature. The kind of the better argument and the better perspective that I would personally look at it is that by providing you know, liquidity into the market and being a part of the ecosystem that funds the Zcash protocol development teams, you were entrusting them with your investment in a way, and you're kind of, you know, not incentivized to kind of build on things yourself because there is a funding model in place that is giving teams the opportunity to build, that is directly kind of funded by the protocol and the price of the coin. So you're kind of entrusting a team to kind of build on this technology. And if they're not successful, then you're going to be kind of hurting in the end as well as them, but yourself as well. So there's kind of two arguments. I wouldn't necessarily look at it as a tax, but it does kind of put kind of the control of the investment more into the teams building on the protocol rather than not. The other argument is that it centralizes control for protocol development. And this is one that I'm actually in agreement with, because if you look at the current structure of the Zcash Development Fund, there's three organizations who receive funding. And one of those organizations, the Community Grants Program, rolls up to the Zcash Foundation. So there's only two legal organizations that are receiving funding, and they're both domiciled in the United States. So it might not necessarily centralize, let's say, the number of developers or builders on the protocol, because people can apply for funding via the grants programs, but it does inhibit people from, let's say, for example, countries that are sanctioned by OFAC are not able to build on the Zcash protocol, because all of the dev fund funding goes directly into US domiciled organizations. And that is a major issue, in my opinion. Within dev fund discussions that are currently happening right now, because as a community, we're discussing what the next dev fund is going to look like if we have one, and what it would look like coming in 2024 during the next halving, we're saying that a lot of community members are recommending that two more organizations receive funding, so dividing up the pie even further, and then also that those two organizations need to be domiciled outside of the United States. So there is an acknowledgement within the community that this is an issue, and there are currently discussions on how we can mitigate that. And then the last one is there's negative price impact on the coin due to 20% of these coins block rewards being allocated for fiat liquidation to fund the operations of these three organizations and to fund grants and et cetera. I don't know if I necessarily agree with this one, because, you know, Zcash mining isn't ASIC resistant and it is largely centralized at this point. And I would imagine that most of the miners of the Zcash protocol are liquidating funds to support their operations. So the kind of the argument that I've seen in the forums recently as well is that, you know, even though these coins are being liquidated to fund development, they would largely be liquidated anyways if we did not have the current structure in place. So these are the arguments at large against the dev fund model. And now for my arguments and kind of concerns with the dev fund model. I think the first is it can create a lack of urgency due to this idea of security and sustainability. And I don't mean a lack of urgency with the protocol development teams, because if you look at the Zcash protocol and a lot of the technology that's been built, especially the technology that's been used by other projects in the ecosystem, there is a high level of urgency. There's a high level of talent and there's a high level of production with teams developing on the Zcash protocol. My concern is kind of what I mentioned earlier, is that it creates this divide between coin holders and investors per se and users versus teams that are building on the protocol, because there's no incentivization for someone to voluntarily contribute. Therefore, there's a lack of urgency as a coin holder to actively try and create change, because you're kind of giving the torch to these organizations who are funded and you're not funded, because it's kind of like this funder versus funded divide. And for me, which is the biggest problem with this entire funding model, is that it limits opportunities for people to contribute to the protocol, kind of take a stake in their own investment and their own usage. And further, it discourages voluntary contribution. And this is kind of the point I want to talk about the most today during this talk, and something I'm trying to bring up in the Zcash community right now. Because if you look at the current funding model, it's not just for, let's say, developers and engineers and people maintaining the protocol. It's also for things like marketing, global regulatory relations, US policy work. It's also for things like partnerships and advocating for Zcash at exchanges, centralized or decentralized, and also partnerships with other protocols. This is all done, you know, by organizations who are receiving dev fund money. And it further extends into things like on the grounds, grassroots adoption, education projects, podcasts, et cetera. If you kind of go into Zcash Twitter, this is a really good example, and you kind of see the most active accounts, I would say 90% of them, the ones who are very active and kind of talking about Zcash every day, maybe this isn't the right number, but kind of seems that way, 80 to 90% of them are maybe recipients of the Zcash Development Fund, even if you don't think they are. Because things like the Global Ambassador Program and all these different things have created an incentive model to where if you contribute to Zcash, there's funding available and you can request funding and will likely get it. The problem with that is that in my mind, it's not sustainable. And it also, when it becomes unsustainable, it's going to discourage voluntary contributors. So kind of what I see in the future is that, well, the halving, the block reward is going to get smaller, therefore less money is going to be put into the protocol if the price of Zcash doesn't appreciate. And we're going to add more organizations, so the fund is going to be further divided. So there's less allocation available for people who want to build on the protocol. So if you're currently doing something around like education or something online and you're doing it voluntarily and you see someone doing it and they're getting paid, the incentive model ties back to the dev fund and you're going to see that person and say, well, I want to receive the same type of funding because that's fair. And that's the incentive model that's in place because there's that's just the way it's been constructed in my mind, unintentionally, but that's the way it is. So people are going to apply for grants. So what you're kind of starting to see in the Zcash community is that everyone who comes into the Zcash community and starts contributing largely has this idea and this goal to one day be a part of the Zcash Development Fund. And the current state allows for that because there's enough funding available. But the problem with that long term is that when funding shrinks up and we eventually get rid of a development fund, a lot of people are going to stop receiving funding and they might quit their advocacy for the Zcash protocol. And then people who come in and don't receive grants or don't receive funding at all might be disincentivized to continue participating in Zcash, which creates an even more isolated community. So what I'm starting to see right now is that we don't have enough incentives to voluntarily contribute. I created a project called ZecHub to create those incentives, but eventually all the voluntary contributors and I had conversations and they decided that it would be best that the program received funding. So even a project that was intended to be voluntary ended up receiving funds via the Zcash development fund through ZCG. So there are some really big concerns here that we need to address and in the current discussions need to be aware of as we talk about the next dev fund. And all of these discussions are ongoing. And after the talk here, I'll link the forum post where people can follow along. And what I'm starting to encourage people within Zcash is to start looking at how the Monero community, how a lot of Monero community members are just voluntarily contributing and relying on things like community donations, which I think is a very good model for things like grassroots adoption, podcasts, et cetera, because one, it creates more of an incentive, mission alignment incentive, but also long-term, it's much more sustainable because this funding model cannot exist forever. And the last thing is, and this is a very like minor thing, but organizations who denominate in ZEC can be hit really hard during like price volatility. So for example, ZecHub has an open source bounty program where if you do a newsletter, for example, you can make a $25 bounty paid in shielded Zcash. These types of programs who are denominated in ZEC, so when we raised that grant, we raised it at like 280 Zcash coins versus a fiat amount. So when we raised it, it was $15,000 and now the grant is worth $11,000 because the price is appreciated. So the funding model, because people are so used to like fiat denominations, when it's denominated in ZEC, you kind of lose a lot of purchasing power and ability. So that's an issue as well. So kind of solutions that we talk about with these problems is if you look at things like retroactively rewarding builders, that's something that's starting to be done in the Zcash community. So for example, doing the Zcash spam attack that's been happening over the last year, where people have been filling blocks with transactions, a developer at a Zcash fork created a wallet and a wallet syncing mechanism that performed well during the spam attack and won the majority of wallet, like market share for Zcash wallets. And instead of being, they were not funded by the grants program. So they were not a wallet company that was being actively funded. So because they built the best product, they were able to retroactively request funding and receive that for building the best product. So that for me, instead of kind of funding projects on the basis that they might succeed, retroactively funding them gives projects an opportunity to build the best solution and then request funding for it. And that comes with its own set of trade-offs, like you're building something in hopes that you might get funding, but kind of creating more of those incentive models might lead to better output versus, broken promises per se. I think another solution that we're starting to see is creating more programs whose role is to redistribute block rewards if the Zcash Dev Fund model is in place. So for example, ZecHub, like I just mentioned, an organization that I created, which is now managed by another team, has an open source bounty program where it takes some of the block rewards and then just pays it out to contributors who complete bounties. So it's redistributing to people who just complete tasks instead of kind of going through a salary or grant process like the other redistributions of the block rewards. And you look at programs like Zcash Foundation has implemented something called the Miner Grants Program, where you can receive a grant between $0 to $25,000. And they're, instead of saying, we're going to hire people to kind of come in and work here full time and work on multiple projects, we're just going to pay grants out to individual contributors who want to work on one thing. So that's a program that I'm currently a part of, writing a research report that was done through that program. And it's a lot easier to work on Zcash potentially part time at a very kind of minuscule level and still receive funding. So that's something I'm seeing kind of be a good opportunity. And it also is a good thing for localization of funds. So if you want to localize grassroots adoption and you want to use the dev fund model for that, you can create more organizations that are spread across the world, redistribute block rewards to those organizations, and then those organizations can further redistribute the block rewards to incentivize building kind of applications or things within those communities that are much more localized than people within the United States could potentially imagine. So I think kind of localizing those redistributions is important as well. I think one thing that we could definitely learn from the Monero community is establishing a ecosystem where more products can be acquired and more services can be acquired in Shield and Zac. So currently, if you look at kind of the market, well, a good example of this is like I tweeted once a video of me using Monero to buy something, and someone commented that they're able to kind of have 50% of their grocery bill paid for in Monero. And I think that's like a really cool thing that I don't think is necessarily available in the Zcash community right now. And we don't have an active kind of like pay for stuff with Zcash in the community as well. So kind of looking at how other communities have tried to drive quote unquote like circular economies and economies that are kind of outside of fiat, we can kind of learn some lessons on how we can directly accept Zcash and encourage, you know, suppliers and vendors and different, you know, service providers to accept Zcash as well. So people can become less dependent on third-party applications. With, for example, a lot of Zcashers use something called Flexa, which is a third-party application where you have to KYC to acquire goods and services. And that is a good solution in the interim, but it's not a sustainable solution and not an optimal solution long-term. So we need to look at how other communities have done this. And that could potentially also be revenue streams for builders as well. So we could potentially move away from specifically just relying on dev fund. And then also begin discussions where alternative funding mechanisms are discussed. We can look at, you know, kind of constructing nonprofits that rely on community donations or donations from individual parties. For example, one of the organizations seeking out development fund money in 2024 is called Shielded Labs. And for their first year of operations, where they have, you know, a project leader and then obviously a couple developers, They're being funded by individual donations and have a runway for 1 year to have a couple developers on staff. And then we'll look to scale with the development fund in 2024. So that's great. And I don't think Shielded Labs shouldn't kind of request development fund money. I think that they should have that opportunity. But at the same time, can we think of the first model that they have of kind of receiving donations and scale organizations that way? Scaling organizations through profitable products. So currently in Zcash, I don't think any of the wallet companies have for-profit models in place. I think kind of figuring out how we can create more for-profit models would be optimal. And then additionally, for example, one of my friends runs a Zcash podcast and his grant that he received was $6,000. My mind kind of goes, well, if the Zcash community was longing for a quality podcast, wouldn't the community be able to raise $6,000 instead of having to go through the community grants program and the dev fund? So because all of these incentives right now are so correlated with the development fund model, the community isn't incentivized to actually raise funds and kind of donate funds to projects they think are worthwhile, which for me is more of a question of not centralization, but more importantly, sustainability. So we need to think of how we can move past these move past the current dev fund model and look to other ways. And there are solutions that are being built to work on those things, but we definitely need to scale their efforts and make them more widespread and more widely used in Zcash. And to finish, kind of some points I want to kind of drive home before we go to Q&A. There are a number of privacy technologies that have been built by ECC and Zcash Foundation, which have been funded by the block rewards and the dev fund. they're being used industry-wide. So a great example is Tornado Cash. If you went on the Tornado Cash website, if you go on it, it credits Zcash for being kind of the code that inspired the Tornado Cash application and protocol. So that's one example within Ethereum where the Zcash Dev Fund has benefited, a cryptocurrency ecosystem. And if you look at the recent release of the Halo 2 zero knowledge proof, that's currently being used by projects like Scroll in the Ethereum space, and also projects like DarkFi. So you have a wide array of different projects who are, have different incentives and different purposes for their existence, but they're using technology as a part of their overall stack that's from Zcash. So a small part of their technology stack is from Zcash organizations, or it was created there. So I think these are really good things. And if I've even seen some conversations within the Monero community about potentially using Halo 2 zero knowledge proofs as a part of the overall Monero protocol. And I think these are really good things because the majority of Zcash technology is licensed under MIT or Apache 2.0. So I think these are really good things where the development fund is benefiting the larger cryptocurrency ecosystem at large. And I think that's a very good thing. And we need to acknowledge that, even if it's the model that a lot of individuals want to participate in. And if you don't want to participate in, like, my honest, response is that there are other options in the marketplace where you can kind of sell your Zcash and move elsewhere. So for example, if I wasn't happy with the Zcash Dev Fund and kind of the results that it's producing, I could easily sell my Zcash for Monero and just and focus all of my time and energy in the Monero community. And there are trade-offs for that. And I would say that people who do that, you're getting an equally strong option for privacy preserving cryptocurrency, and it doesn't have the same model. And again, trade-offs, but there are options in the marketplace where everyone's not bound to use Zcash if they don't like the current state of affairs and if they don't like the direction that the protocol is going. And then the last thing I want to drive home, which was at the point I was talking about earlier, is that we could potentially use a culture shift within Zcash that could aid us in terms of long-term stability. We can have a funding mechanism, even if it's at the protocol level, that funds things like core protocol development and maintenance. But we, as a community, need to start prioritizing the highest priority items that we need to have funded, and fund those potentially via the protocol, and look at different ways, things like community funding and different funding mechanisms for things like grassroots adoption, marketing, comms, etc. And I don't mean that we need to cut off funding from all the organizations and even the organizations that I've worked at and I'm currently affiliated with. But what I'm saying is we need to kind of have a plan of how these organizations become self-sustaining and create funding models outside of Block Rewards, and how we can fund as a community, fund these projects and these things to voluntary contributors and community contributors outside of Block Rewards as well. So we need to start having those discussions and look towards a future where one core protocol development is done via the Zcash Dev Fund like model, and then eventually an environment where this doesn't exist at all. So these are kind of all of my thoughts on it. The reason I brought this up today and wanted to talk about this is because this is an ongoing debate right now in the Zcash community, because we're coming up to our next halving in 2024. So I would really encourage everyone here to follow along with those discussions and potentially offer your thoughts and opinions and why Monero's model is potentially superior to Zcash's. Because if you do look at the current rate of adoption, I would agree that Monero is experiencing a better adoption rate. So I think kind of learning from each other's experiences here could be really beneficial. And as long as all the technology that's built is fully open source, then it's going to benefit everyone that's involved in the ecosystem at large.
Do you love coffee and Monero as much as we do? Consider making gratuitous.org your daily cup. Pay with Monero for premium fresh beans, and if you like what you taste, send a digital cash tip directly to the farmers that made it possible. Proceeds help us grow this channel, Gratuitous, and Monero.
These are, obviously some of my thoughts, and here, happy to answer some questions. Now, I do want to clarify that I'm not the most technical person in the world, so if I am not able to answer your question, I'll surely state that I'm not able to, so take some time for that now. So yeah, if I see any questions in the comments, I'll go ahead and answer those. give it like another 20 seconds. So I see a question here. What do you think are or could be the consequences of having limited shorter term feedback via the development fund for non-grant recipients like ECC or ZF? So I can't hear you guys currently. I see you guys popping up now from Mexico. I see you guys popping up and hear you now. So I guess the question here regarding feedback, do you mean like having shorter time preferences? So not being, let's say, like 4 years of sustainable funding and having maybe shorter term time preferences? Is that me? I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay, I have a couple of questions with respect to the, one is with respect to your debt fund. And one of the major concerns that we have, at least I personally would have in the Monero community, is how do you respond to regulators and how they've treated you with respect to the debt fund? And I don't know if you covered that, in particular with respect to the FinCEN guidance of 2013. You're muted.
Sorry. So I'm not familiar with the FinCEN guidance, but I just want to be clear. Are you talking regulatory concerns with regards to like securities laws? Or are you talking, you know, more like OFAC sanctions like Tornado Cash?
I'm talking about money laundering, money services business, money transmission, and securities laws.
Okay, so I think the first part is, the answer there is, and I saw the question in the chat, so I'll answer that as well after this. The answer I would provide there is we can't, it's a neutral protocol, so we can't say that people aren't going to use this protocol for things that potentially governments don't like. I think one thing I have an issue with calling things money laundering or criminal activity is that we can't necessarily define that because jurisdictions change and their laws change, so I want to clarify that. But with regards to like the United States, the one thing we have to do as a community is build more use cases that are, I guess, for more normal people. So I think within Monero, there's a website that lists all of the Monero vendors that accept Monero within like non-Darknet markets. And I think that building things like that and having those amount of vendors and those amount of use cases that prove that people just want to use a currency that provides more privacy is the best way to combat against regulators. And then also share that like things like backdoors, et cetera, are just bad for national security because they can be broken. If we give someone a backdoor, then those things can be broken. So kind of making those arguments on that side. And then again, I'm not a regulator and I'm not a policy advocate, so my information there is probably not the best. And then the security side of it is that the Zcash community, I know I've mentioned here like investment, and there is that side of it and the token price appreciation, but overall people are trying to build something with real world utility that's used to be, you know, either a unit of account, a savings mechanism, things that can be a medium of exchange. So, and no one's promising anybody that we're going to increase their investment by building on this protocol. And I think another way to kind of further kind of alleviate fears there is by having more organizations receiving dev fund money that are not subject to US regulations. So those are kind of the main points there. I know those aren't great answers, but those are my perspectives.
Thank you very much. My second question, second question is, what, if anything, is your thoughts and response on the European Union MICA, which Article 76.3 would technically ban privacy-protecting cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, so I think if you have something like that in place, like regulatory kind of overreach, then you do have funding models within the Zcash that are dedicated to fight against that and kind of go to, like, take these regulations to court and fight against them, combat against them. But I do also acknowledge the need for Zcash to potentially have the ability to go dark and kind of be used in an environment that's adversarial. So we need to build for both. I think the Zcash approach has been kind of more to the side of work with regulators and show them kind of why this is a good thing for citizens. And we haven't really prioritized the other side of it. But I think there is a growing sentiment in the community that we need to be ready for those types of regulations and kind of be prepared to use it in the event that it's made banned, essentially. But from what I understand, the electric coin company is actively working with European regulators.
Are you aware of the pending litigation in the United States that could put Chainalysis on trial?
I'm not, no.
Okay, because that's actually coming in pretty soon. So okay. I thought you may want to sort of check into that and maybe find a way you can help the attorneys involved. Because
yeah, I'll forward that information. Them. Yeah, I'll forward that information to the regulator guys at ECC for sure. I'll look into that for sure. Awesome. I think you guys froze up in Mexico City. In the chat, can you guys still hear me? If you can, go ahead and answer this question. Cool. So the question here was around, what do you think the consequences are for having shorter term feedback via the development fund for like non-grant recipients? Like, let's say like ECC and the Zcash Foundation. So if they fail to perform kind of like up to like a satisfactory model. So that's actually something that no one's mentioned that in the forums in the recent discussions. So someone actually mentioned like, we need to make the dev fund smaller to put more pressure on the organizations kind of, you know, working on it. I think that is actually, my idea here would be is that if we could kind of decrease the years kind of guaranteed to organizations or kind of create a way for the community to reallocate funding. So for example, there was a forum post a couple of days ago where someone in the community recommended that the Zcash community grants reallocate some of their funding to ECC and ZF because it's not being used. So they have a large treasury, it's not being used. But that currently in the protocol consensus protocol mechanism is not allowed. Like ECC and ZF are not allowed to receive grants. So that's kind of the inverse. So that's actually being discussed of like, can we allocate more money to developers at ECC and ZF so they can work on these problems? That's being discussed. It's not being well supported from my kind of take on it. So the inverse of that is like, can we take away dev funding from organizations who aren't kind of meeting the standards that are required for them? I actually think it's a great way because it can hold up the whole organizations to a higher standard. And I would actually take that a step further and say, I would be more in support of the organization's individual kind of teams and kind of, let's say, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like individual teams and kind of segments of the organization. So for example, marketing, community development, business partnerships, et cetera, kind of be held to their own individual standards. So for example, if one aspect of the company is performing really, really well, then maybe even another aspect of the company shouldn't receive the funding that they were receiving previously. I don't know how that works in practice, and I don't know if we kind of have protocol developers and maintainers as one kind of organization or one entity and kind of have marketing and other organizations as another, but having a way to kind of decentralize kind of responsibilities and only fund the ones that we feel are performing up to standard, I would actually probably be in support of that. And I would agree that in practice, Zcash chain forks haven't kind of seen as much activity. So we've kind of seen that's not worked out in practice as much. Worked out as well. So I would agree with that idea of kind of holding people to higher standards. So I'm seeing that Mexico is having some problems. See if they have any other questions. I can't, Mexico City, I can't hear you guys. I see you now popped up. Another question we have here. Yeah,
a question mentioning something, and then we all got cut off. Are you aware of the legal litigation with respect to essentially Chainalysis and the Bitcoin fork case? And if you would be interested, or would people interested in the Zcash community, if the attorneys behind it would reach out to you, if you're interested at all? That's basically my question.
I heard that bit before you got cut off, and I think the best way is I'll put my Twitter and my Zcash specific email in the chat, and the best way is like kind of I can get the information and then I can forward that to the relative like regulator personnel within the community, and I'm sure they'd be interested in looking at it, and I can pass it on to them because I can't directly, I don't work full time in Zcash anymore. And I'm not, even though I have a grant from ZF, I don't work and I'm not a part of the ZF company or team. So I don't have like direct communication channels, but I do know them and have their contact information.
Can I ask the attorneys if they were interested in reaching out to you? to the Zcash Foundation or to?
No, if you can send me the information, I can forward it to them for sure. Okay. Or I can provide, if you want to contact me and I can provide their contact info as well.
Yeah. So that's a bit tricky right now because of all the, okay, so you want me to put it in the chat?
No, I'll put my Twitter and my email in the chat and you can email
information. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you so much.
I think we're running up on time here. So I see, cool. Yeah, I'll do that. This is my email. Proton. Okay, that's my email right there and my Twitter. Okay, and there was one last question I see here. How much of the folks tend to not contribute without funding trend you mentioned might be addressed by a more open ECC and ZF development model? One might argue that ECC has closed off their development process over time, or perhaps ZF as well. I think from a developer perspective, I've seen that has been the case, and there's not a lot of like developer kits or not a lot of developer enablement. So for example, if you want to build like an independent application on Zcash, it's the kind of learning curve is quite difficult and the barrier to entry is quite difficult. And I don't know if that's been intentional or if that's just been like a product of lack of attention over a long time. I'm not super familiar there, but I will say that there's new discussions that people are trying to start advocating for more open development environments and advocating for more organizations to work on core protocol development. For example, there's a cryptography team called QEdit that's building Zcash shielded assets. For example, like wrapped Ethereum or wrapped Bitcoin on Zcash. There's talks about getting them involved with core protocol development and having them be a recipient of the dev fund. So we're seeing that has been a consequence perhaps of the centralization vector, but we're seeing that that's trying to be alleviated. Via GitHub issues and discussions, now that's not really the case. Yeah, okay. So you're saying that like it's currently not a collaborative environment, it's closed off. I think that might be due to I'm speculating here, I'm probably providing not a great answer. That might be to the fact that people have left and started to build on other projects like related to privacy. So there's stuff going on Ethereum, there's new layer ones happening in Cosmos. So people are like leaving the Zcash community because they feel it's not moving at either a rate or that's not moving in the direction that people want. So they become disincentivized because they don't work at these companies and they go and take either the open source tech and build it on their own platforms or they go and collaborate with other protocols. So yeah, I think people are branching out and figuring out new ways. So like one of the cool projects on Cosmos is like founded by like a former ZF developer and a lot of like Aztec, one of the chief scientists at Aztec was actually the person that found the Zcash inflation bug. Previous inflation bug back in, I think, 2017. So people are, I think, just starting new things. I see another question here. Recipients of the dev fund need to go through KYC process, and that's not very consistent with privacy principles, and it limits. So this is something I actually tried to fix when we tried to get funding through for the program that I created. We tried to make it non-KYC. So currently, it ended up being domiciled in the U.S., and we kind of had to do that by design because we wanted to protect the people managing the bounty pool, because you couldn't do it like a DAO type environment because there's no smart contracts for shielded Zcash and there's no way to automate that. So people have to control it and they're, you know, based in these countries and we wanted to protect them. There wasn't kind of an appetite to create the amount of funding available to help domicile this organization overseas. Like we explored that. I think people are realizing that those types of decisions are really detrimental and they're forcing people to have to KYC when they're not comfortable with it and it's putting off contributors. So for us and for people like me, we're advocating for people to start domiciling their prospective projects potentially in countries that have those regulatory environments that allow for non-KYC. Acquisition and non-KYC, like earning non-KYC Zcash. And I think the other thing is we just need to create more of a environment that encourages people to use Zcash peer-to-peer so we can fund things, you know, like anonymous developers, can we get community fundraising efforts to help fund their own projects? And I think those are things that like culturally, we're just going to have to change. So to answer that question regarding KYC, currently the culture has been, let's not invest in it because it's not a priority. We're starting to see that's a priority and that's hurting the amount of people that want to participate. And the solutions are domiciling organizations that are friendly to non-KYC participation and acquisition of Zcash. And then the other thing is just creating more of a peer-to-peer culture where we can, you know, community fundraise for anonymous developers and anonymous contributors, because sustainably, we cannot expect everybody to KYC and we cannot expect everybody to interact with Zcash in a KYC fashion. My research grant for the foundation is actually on non-KYC infrastructure, and I'll be publishing that on August 1st. So if you're interested in that, I'll be posting that on my Twitter as well. And I'll be working on that over the next 3 months, and probably will likely consult the help of the Monero community around that stuff. So I hope that answered your question. Is there anything else? Okay, great. I think we're a little over time. So I appreciate everyone for the questions and the time. And yeah, again, thank you, Monerotopia, for the opportunity to speak on this today. And thank you guys so much, and looking forward to seeing you guys in the Twitter sphere. So have a great day.